The Religious. Dominic overcame all the initial difficulties of religious life with enthusiasm. Sustained as he was by his unlimited confidence in the Blessed Virgin's aid. Since he had not gone to school and did not know Latin, he was destined to be a simple religious brother. He was happy with his status, but at the same time, as he would later reveal, he felt so sure that he would be a Passionist priest that he would have been more likely to doubt his own existence. This conviction was the result of his equal certainty of the mission he was to fulfil in England, according to the revelation he had received. He continued to experience within himself ample and varied supernatural phenomena, but rather quickly, he received a decisive and providential criticism from his master of formation. The sentence was peremptory. It is but the fruit of an overactive fantasy, a place where Satan can wander around at his pleasure. The good master, following the teaching of St. John of the Cross, inculcated Dominic to despise certain extraordinary phenomena and rather to point himself decisively in the ordinary direction of meditation and the exercise of the virtues. In spite of his lack of scholastic culture, he stood out from the others for his mental acuteness and tenacious memory. Once, when interrogated about the meditation of the day, he surprised everyone by perfectly reciting Latin texts of the Scripture and of the Fathers. Thus he was admitted, in an extraordinary way, to undergo the necessary Latin exam for entering the priestly studies. He passed with high honours, and not without the special illumination of the Mother of God. Dominic attributed all to her. In the end, you conquered and led me where I did not choose to go at the beginning, and where, I should say, I was not knowledgeable. I recognised you to be the helping hand which had guided me in everything. It was in this way that I found myself, almost without being aware of it, among religious. Without human industry, I found myself set along the way for the priesthood. I found myself distinguished by your name. It was you who desired that I might be called Dominic of the Mother of God. Of course, you wanted to inform me of my duty to recognise myself as your particular jurisdiction. Oh yes, my mother, not only by duty, but even by name. I belong all to the Mother of God. Wisely, forged by the divine grace and by the strong hand of his masters, who succeeded in caring for his religious, philosophical, and theological formation, Brother Dominic headed towards the goal of religious profession and priestly ordination without any uncertainty. He was the most diligent, exact, attentive, etc., in observance. In his own work, in prayer, recollection, in seizing and practising the virtues, it was enough to tell him things but once in order for him to comprehend and execute them. The priest. His priestly ordination occurred on March the 1st, 1818, the first Sunday of Lent. the Blessed Virgin visited her new priest and asked him to faithfully correspond to the incommensurable gift he had just received from the divine goodness. She taught him that only the virtue of humility would be able to replace the feelings of confusion which flooded his mind at the sublime priestly dignity to which he had just been elevated. She wanted him to offer to Jesus the very affections of the mother considered in the various mysteries of her life, from the incarnation to the resurrection of her son. These would be for Jesus as if they were the very affections of Dominic. The last recommendation of the Mother of God was that he attend to the salvation of his neighbour, to the conversion of the wandering and of the heretics, because they too are her children. Father Dominic, the devout son of Mary that he was, readily welcomed the mother's words, and from then on, inspired by her, he offered himself in holocaust for the conversion of the English people. He was ready to support all diseases of the body and the mind, all the most disgracing humiliations, the very pains of hell which we suffered by all the English souls put together if they were to be damned, on the condition that he might see them all reunited in the one sheepfold of the Catholic Church. In every Eucharistic sacrifice, he renewed his prayer and offering for the entirety of his life. He remained faithful, even as a priest, to the spiritual and ascetic exercises taken up at the time of his novitiate. Besides the rigorous austerities of the Passionist rule, which he always observed with fervour from his first days, he never passed a day without offering seven little flowers of mortification to the Virgin. The Professor. In 1821, he became a professor of philosophy at the Passionist Seminary in St. Angelo, and in 1824, he was appointed vicar of the same community. In that time, he applied himself to studying ancient and modern Greek, French, and English. He wrote The Cry of England, his autobiography, and his Mariology. Notwithstanding the large amount of cultural activity, he did not disdain the pastoral commitment of confessions, popular preaching, and spiritual exercises for priests, religious, and seminarians. From 1826 to 1831, Father Dominic was professor of theology at the Passionist Seminary in Rome, at the convent of Saints John and Paul, the generalate of the congregation. By the order of the general superior, amongst 1,000 occupations, he wrote a near Thomistic manual of philosophy in 6 volumes, 1,557 pages in all. The theological reviewer of the Sacred Congregation of Rites expressed his most laudatory judgment on the work, wishing to see its wide diffusion. He also dedicated himself to other minor works, such as 6 hagiographies, mostly of confreres, who died in the odour of sanctity. In May-June of 1830, he made the acquaintance of George Spencer, a 31-year-old Englishman of a noble family who had been received into the Catholic Church a few months previously by a Dominican priest of Leicester. From this there was born a holy friendship which would endure until death, and which brought about many happy consequences for the missionary activity of the Passionists in England. At that time, there was a celebrated French orator, Abbé Lamennais, who effectively received the general applause of the entire Catholic populace, even in Rome. Father Dominic, intellectually formed by the solid school of St. Thomas, did not allow himself to be seduced by the suave eloquence of Lamennais and grasped the dangerous seeds of heresy within his thoughts. He did not hesitate to publicly condemn these dangers, even by means of written polemics. As a result, he gained a certain unpopularity, and this, even within his superiors, who judged him to be imprudent and presumptuous. Hence, in 1831, they promoted him to superior of the retreat house in Lucca, with an incredible patience and a holy indifference. Father Dominic accepted. In truth, he had observed Lamennais well, and after a short time he was vindicated, albeit indirectly, by Gregory the 16th himself, who twice condemned Lamennais by means of the encyclicas Mirare Vos in 1832 and Singulari Nos in 1934. The Superior. As superior, Father Dominic edified his subjects by faithfully observing the rule, and he demanded a full commitment from them as well, even using a paternal severity when it was necessary. He dedicated himself to the popular missions without sparing any of his strength, and gathered the fruits of a considerable number of conversions and vocations. He showed himself to be an attentive and prudent administrator. He was confessor to several convents of contemplative nuns, where he gave a number of spiritual retreats. From 1833 to 1836, he was provincial of Basso Lazio, among the resolutions of the then newly elected provincial, one reads, "I shall not move towards making any correction at all if, before making it, I do not find myself tranquil, and I will always say at least a Hail Mary before I initiate it." He cultivated contacts with a series of English acquaintances that he came to know through George Spencer, and he never lost an opportunity to advocate the cause of the English mission before the highest authorities of the congregation. Supernatural charisms. Gifted with a singular humility, he abhorred any form of praise or exaltation that might come to him, while, on the other hand, he greatly esteemed every sort of injustice, failure, rebuke, adversity, and humiliation that might come his way. It is no surprise, then, that the divine wisdom favoured him with heavenly gifts, such as the spirit of prophecy, clairvoyance, the reading of hearts, discernment of spirits, miraculous healings, bilocation, ecstasy, and at times even a radiating aureole. Yet the greatest miracle was the inexhaustible energy he spent in order to faithfully fulfill his commitments as a religious, a teacher, a superior, and a pastor of souls. Once, a nun, one of his penitents, lamented that she did not know how to embroider. He said to her, "Go to your mother. She will take care of it." And as a matter of fact, Our Lady instantaneously communicated to her the art of embroidering, which the obedient nun then taught to the other sisters. When he was speaking of Our Lady, or preaching on her excellent privileges, his face was entirely inflamed, and an incontainable river of the most sweet praises flowed from his lips. More than one novice saw him lifted several inches from the ground, rapt in ecstatic contemplation, while considering the glories of the Divine Mother. One of his penitents, persisting with a holy astuteness in trying to pry forth the secret of his extraordinary Marian devotion, pointedly asked him, "Was Our Lady beautiful?" He responded, "I thought myself to be blinded by her splendour." The Belgian Foundation. Father Dominic was elected provincial again in 1839. In January of 1840, he was sick in bed in the retreat house of San Sozio on account of a devastating fall from a horse. He received a letter from the General Superior which communicated the imminent departure of four confrères for the new foundation in Belgium. He did not figure into the number of the chosen missionaries, and laughingly confided to Father Ambrose, "It cannot be so. Mary Most Holy has revealed to me that one of these four religious will come with me to England. How can it be that this one be noted and I not? The Most Reverend Father will change his mind." The day after, as the same eyewitness, Father Ambrose, attests, there arrived another letter from the General Superior to Father Dominic, announcing that he was nominated as the Superior of the Belgian Mission. On account of the ill health which kept him in bed, Father Dominic was constrained to postpone his departure for Rome in preparation for the mission until May the 8th, 1840. When they mounted him on a horse, they saw tears flow on account of the spasms which were caused from the movement. He almost seemed to pass out, and they had to hold him up. At every step across the rocky road, the spasms were renewed. The doctors, with whom they were acquainted, judged him to be more in need of a hospital for incurables and invalids than to actually assume the burden entrusted to him. And yet, Blessed Dominic did not doubt for a moment his divine call to the Northern European mission. Rather, he wrote to Father General that, "Even if these maladies were to increase tenfold, I am not going to lose hope, because he who has promised can execute." On May the 26th, 1840, the little missionary fleet of Passionists set sail in the northern direction from the port of Civitavecchia with Father Dominic as their captain. On the 22nd of June, the small community entered the new Belgian retreat house at Ira, near Tournai. Father Dominic immediately attracted the friendship of the bishop and the seminary rector, who were both to seek him out as counsellor and preacher for the spiritual exercises of the clerics and seminarians. The English Foundation. In 1840, shortly after Blessed Dominic's departure for Belgium,